This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Laser, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. In this episode, written by Leo Solomon and Ben Gersman, named Bailey's Bad Boy, directed by Bob Sweeney. In this particular episode, again, there were many people who early in their career appeared on Andy Griffith's show, and you're going to recognize Ronald Bailey in this episode because that is Bill Bixby. Yes, and he doesn't change much as he gets older. You can still see that face, but you know, Bill Bixby was a big television star. He starred one of my favorite comedies when I was a kid, My Favorite Martian, and then I used to love the show The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Then later on, he was the Incredible Hulk, and he went on to he directed other television shows, including one, Blossom. And Bill Bixby died young in 1993, so you're going to recognize him throughout the episode. And I just want to say he did a great job of acting in this episode as we go through the story here. What we find out at the opening of the episode is you see a guy by the name of Fletch Delbeck on the side of the road, and his truck's off on the side of the road, and got a lot of produce out in the road. Barney and Andy drive up in the squad car, and they see the produce out, and they're helping him pick it up, trying to find out from him what happened. But Fletch keeps giving him one-word answers, and finally Andy says, "We need you to talk. We're going to be here to dinner." And Barney says, "I haven't even had my lunch yet." So anyway, they find out that he got sideswiped by some white car, the young kid driving, and so Barney and Andy drive down the road, and the kids park to the side. And of course, this is Bill Bixby, and his name in this episode is Ronald Bailey. And right off the bat, Ronald is a smart aleck and ends up threatening Andy and Barney by saying his father's somebody really important that could have their G-Men badges if he really wanted to. So, long story short, Andy and Barney decide to arrest him, and Barney drives his convertible in, and Ron gets in jail, and we see Ron trying to make a phone call to get a hold of his father, and it's going to take a little bit of time before his father or an attorney can show up. So this happens on Friday, we assume, because on Saturday Andy goes to take Opie fishing, and he ends up taking Ron with him, and Ron doesn't understand, "Why are you taking me?" And he says, "Well, you know, Barney's out watching the bicycles at the movie theater. I guess there was some bicycle thieves around town or something." So he has to take Ron with him to go fishing, and Ron's just really watching. And then Opie catches a fish, and Andy helps him get it in, and he hands Ron his pole. Now, I want you to notice something in this part of the episode. After Andy helps Opie get his fish put in the bag, Andy takes a quick look over at Ron, and what he sees is a young city fellow who probably hadn't fished more than once or twice in his life, and he does a quick realization, decides to just go for some sandwiches and let Ron continue to fish. And again, a caring attitude of Andy Griffith. And what happens is Ron catches a fish, and Andy's going on about it and makes a statement to the effect of, "Oh, you're a better man than me." And then at that point, Ron thinks Andy's trying to snow him, is a term at least we use, or, you know, really get all up to him, you know, to make him feel better. So, and Ron accuses Andy of doing that to help, just to help him have his father go easy on him. Well, the next scene we see is they're in the jailhouse at night, and it's dark, and Ron's in the jail cell dancing with the radio on. Barney comes screaming at him, like tells him respectable people are in bed by 10:30, and then lo and behold, Otis, who's drunk of course, enters, walks in, and he sees Ron in his cell, and he makes a big fuss. So there's a big scene here where Barney and Ron get all Ron's things out of the cell, moves him over to another cell. So very interesting in that they set it up to all respectable people, and all of a sudden here comes Otis. Now, what you see is, you know, Ron's locked up in cell number 2, but when Otis stumbles in drunk, Bailey is shifted over to, that's Ron Bailey shifted to cell number 1 because cell number 2 is where Otis sleeps. However, this represents an inconsistency with other episodes where Otis is actually accustomed to sleeping in cell 1. So a little minor inconsistency, but something that a lot of you may not have ever even noticed. And then to finally end this scene, after the lights are back out and Barney screamed and told him to go to sleep, Barney has to come back out in his pajamas, all hair messed up, and he has to hum "Bring It In the Sheaves" to get Otis to sleep. Well, then Sunday comes, and Andy comes and says we have to close the jail on Sunday. And again, Ron Bailey can't believe this is happening. He takes Ron and Barney's over there, and they go and eat dinner. Now, again, one thing about the South, most people have three meals a day are breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, I grew up in North Carolina. We used to say breakfast, dinner, supper. So, you know, what is dinner in this episode, I at least took it as lunch. You may take it differently. But anyway, during this time, they're out on the front porch. And again, I love these scenes out on the front porch. And they're all just sitting there. And Opie admits to breaking Mrs. Purdy's window. And so Andy decides he's going to punish him by simply telling him he can't have any allowance until that window's paid for. Well, at this point, Ron Bailey hears what's going on. And he says something to Andy about, can't you bail the little fellow out?
Weren't you sort of rough on the kid?
How's that?
Well, why don't you bail the little fella out?
Bail him out?
Well, yeah, it's just a window.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I could bail him out, like you say. But the only trouble with that, If I was to do that, why, every time he'd get in trouble, he'd be expecting me to come to the rescue, don't you see? If this time it's a broken window, later on it'd be something bigger, and then something bigger than that. Now, he's got to learn to stand on his own two legs now. I got to keep that young'un straight.
Another thing I want you to notice is the way they say window. Again, Andy, you hear him say window. You know, I've even heard people in North Carolina say winder. But again, instead of saying window as it's spelled, they say window. And again, that's the way people talk in the South, particularly North Carolina, at least where I grew up. So after this, and this was an important scene here, where this little conversation that we just heard between Ron and Andy, it's really the crux of the whole episode. Later on, they're back at the courthouse. Ron's in jail, and the attorney comes in. And first of all, he tries to talk Andy into letting Ron go, but Andy won't do it. So what he's done is the attorney goes out and brings Fletch in, and it's believed that he's bribed Fletch with the new truck to basically say that everything he had told Andy in the beginning wasn't true. And so in this very touching part of the episode, the attorney's got enough evidence, or has gotten Fletch to at least admit nothing's happened so he can let Ron go. But Ron has a change of heart and says, no, that's not the way it happened, and decides he's going to take his punishment. So again, Andy has an effect on a 19-year-old cocky stranger. And then the final little scene in this episode, Barney's talking about how money isn't everything and how he can get Juanita to go out with him without having to spend any money on her, and he makes a phone call to Juanita and says they're going to go a couple places where they're obviously not spending any money, ride in a squad car, then come back to her place and play two-handed post office. And so basically she hangs up on him. Andy calls her back and she hangs up on Andy too. So again, a funny ending to the episode. Now, the trivia question for this one, and again, you'll have to listen carefully, or you might already know it if you're a big Andy Griffith Show fan. What is the diner's telephone number? Again, it's mentioned in the next episode. What is the diner where Juanita works telephone number? If you'd like to take a guess at that, you can certainly go to burkeonmayberry.com and you'll find out if your answer is correct, or you can email your trivia answer to me at burkek at etsu.edu. That's burkek at etsu.edu, and I'll email you back and let you know whether you got this one correct or not. I hope you're enjoying the Burke on Mayberry podcast. I also want to invite you to go over to Two Chairs No Waiting, another podcast by Alan Newsome. He has some interesting interviews and some tidbit information, and I'm sure if you'll get over there, you'll enjoy that as well. If you have any other questions or comments about Burke on Mayberry, don't hesitate to contact me at burkek at etsu.edu. And as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours, and thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry.